From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's field trip is Noah Griffin. Griffin was educated at Yale and Harvard Law, where he was the recipient of two fellowships. His media background includes 5 years as a popular talk show host on KGO Radio in San Francisco and as public affairs director at KSFO Radio. He was an on-air disc jockey at the old K-Fog in San Francisco, and he produced and hosted weekly interview shows on K101 and KFRC. As a journalist, Noah Griffin wrote for 5 years for the Hearst Examiner, and he currently writes for the Marin IJ. He's a published poet, and he's committed more than 50 poems to memory. He also wrote and recorded the official ballad of the Golden Gate Bridge. His interest in music started early. He began singing with a San Francisco boys' chorus at the age of 7. But after college, he decided to defer his dream of being in music for the following 35 years, which he spent in government, politics, media, and journalism. But he never stopped singing, and he's the founder of the Cole Porter Society, the aim of which is to ensure that the musical literacy and cultural heritage of one of America's foremost composers and lyricists is passed on to this and future generations. And to assist in that endeavor, Noah Griffin and friends will present An Evening of Cole Porter at the Barn Theater in Ross, California on February 28. It'll be a benefit performance, and I'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. And I'll put the details on Radio Sausalito's website, too. Let's find out more about Noah Griffin, Cole Porter, and the show. Please welcome to the field trip, Mr. Noah Griffin. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mitchell, for the generous introduction.
Well, now, I can understand your love of Cole Porter music. It's both witty and sophisticated. When did you first become acquainted with Cole Porter?
Even before I knew his name. I was in a crossover generation in the 50s when on the top 40 you could hear everybody from Frank Sinatra to Elvis Presley to the Coasters. And I knew some of the songs that he had done through the popularity of Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and others who could still make the top 40 in those days. And then when I went to law school, I appreciated the fact that he had gone to Harvard Law School, and the dean had sent me down to his law firm in New York City when I thought of going into music full-time. And he had just passed away about 5 years before, and I was in the Cole Porter room where they had a lot of his awards on the wall and talking to the very lawyers that were protecting his name and his legacy. I got to have a 35-year hiatus or an interrupted journey and got back to concertizing in the about 8 years or so ago after having suffered a stroke. And the first person I chose whose music to do was Cole Porter. You're absolutely right. The wit and the verve and the passion and sophistication with which he wrote drew someone such as myself who loves words, and certainly as a poet, I appreciate his internal wordplay and his ability to connect with the broad band of experiences that he had, which make, I think, a fascinating character study, as well as somebody whose music and musicianship I think everybody should appreciate, particularly the younger generation, who may not have access to that with the type of music and the genre of music that's so popular today.
Well, I agree with you. And this morning, you know, before this interview, I went on a lyric website and checked out some of his lyrics, and I'm sure you must be familiar with them. And one of them is, for example, from Did You Ever. I'll say the line, you probably know the following line. Have you heard that Mimsy Star?
She got pinched in the Astor Bar. I mean, he was so clever. I mean, and he would always go to what he didn't quite expect. I was listening to a song today when that song, most people would say, grabs at my heart. Cole says, clutches my heart. He grew up with a gal named Desdemona Bears, B-E-A-R-S-S, whose father was in, or grandfather actually was in business with Cole's grandfather. And she would always tell him, always disdain the cliche. Never go where people think you would go. And so often in his music, and certainly his lyric writing, You think he's going in one direction, he goes completely the other direction.
He does.
And it's just so much fun. It's very witty, very urbane. It's saucy but never sordid. It's racy but never ribald. It's fun to study it, and they never get old. When you listen to his lyrics, they never get old. There's always something new in Cole Porter that keeps him fresh and keeps him alive. In fact, I was just talking to someone the other day. His music still brings in $3 million a year to the Cole Porter estate, which is astounding. I mean, he's been gone so long, but the music still lives on after him. You can't listen to XM Radio, Seriously Sinatra, for 15 minutes, I guarantee you, without hearing a Cole Porter song. Yeah. And loving it.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Let's try another one. Have you heard Professor Munch?
It is wife and forgot his lunch.
Divorced his lunch.
Divorced his wife and forgot his lunch.
That's a great one. Well, this one's an easy one.
I'm not certain that that was the first time that that song debuted between Sinatra and Bing Crosby in high society. He would keep those songs in a trunk and in abeyance, and he would pull them out. But oddly enough, if you think about it, two of his biggest selling songs were songs that were his simplest. You take Don't Fence Me In, which is the only song he actually purchased from a cowboy poet for $250 and totally changed it around. It debuted in 1944, the Hollywood Canteen with Roy Rogers coming in on a horse. And then the song from High Society, from which you take these lyrics from Did You Ever, which was True Love. Very, very simple song.
True Love.
But you can come out of that movie humming it, and there you go, of all the songs he wrote. Now, of all the songs that recorded, Sinatra recorded Night and Day more than any of the other tunes that he recorded, and that's over 2,000 songs that Sinatra recorded.
Well, I love the one from Anything Goes, when most guys today that women prize today
are just silly gigolos.
That's the one.
And times have changed, and we've often rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today, any shock they might try to stem, instead of landing on Plymouth Rock wouldn't land on them in days of old. You know, he had two cats at one point, and he named one Anything and the other one Goes.
I didn't know that.
And he actually came up with that phrase when he was in college. He did a lot of hijinks kinds of programs in college, and that's one he kept in a trunk. So, you know, it was before everything was plot-driven. You know, I guess the first musical, as I understand it, that was totally plot-driven was Oklahoma in 1943, and the rest of them were just vehicles for the wonderful music. So you'd have all kinds of crazy events taking place that don't really follow a storyline, but are wonderful vehicles for the great music, and I think that was one of those shows.
Well, I love the song I Get a Kick Out of You, which is kind of timely. Some get a kick from cocaine. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff...
Well, you know, originally that was they've changed it to some like the bebop refrain, some like the perfume from Spain. But, you know, Cole was very worldly. And, you know, when cocaine came out, Coca-Cola had cocaine in it at times. It was supposed to be this miracle drug. Freud was very famous for having taken a lot of it. But Cole was, you know, he's sophisticated. He tried about anything he is imaginable. He talks about Mickey Mouse. He talks about cellophane.
Yes, he does.
He's really, you know, it's almost his songs are sometimes a time capsule of what was going on at the time.
But then, you know, he'll go into a thing like Miss Otis Regrets, which is a very odd song. They strung her from the old willow cross the way, and the moment before she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried.
And cried, madam. So, you know, I love doing this song because I come in with a white napkin over my left arm and sing it as if I am the butler. Answering the door from this woman who wants to have lunch with Miss Otis that day and has to explain to her that Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. I love how he gets into it. Last evening down in Lover's Lane, she strayed, madam. When she woke up and found that her dream of love had gone, madam, she ran for the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down, madam. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. This woman is so well-bred that the moment before she dies, she remembers that she has this luncheon engagement, and she wants to make certain that the woman who's coming knows that she cannot be there
right.
that day.
He has another wonderful lyric. This verse I started seems to me the tin pantithesis of a melody.
Isn't that a great phrase? Yeah, you know, the guy is just extraordinary. He's got such a playful wit. And it comes out in the verse to The Lovely, which was 1935, Red Hot and Blues, starring Ethel Merman, Jimmy Durante, and Bob Hope. Bob Hope and Ethel Merman debuted that song. And one of the highlights of my life was being able to interview Bob Hope and ask him about that. I asked him, I said, is it true that you were a boxer? He said, yeah, I boxed under the name of Packy East and never got a chance to thank the guy that knocked me back into vaudeville. I told him I thought you boxed under the name of Rembrandt because you were always on the canvas, which is one of his old jokes. And it made him laugh, and I thought, gosh, to make Bob Hope laugh and all the laughter that he's given me and people over the years. He said, you know, there are not too many people I would call a genius, but if there is such a thing, he's right around in that category, and I think he's right.
Well, we call his tunes standards. What's your definition of a standard?
My definition of a standard is a song that you can dress up and take to any decade. A standard is a song that I think that represents universal themes and the human condition that will never change. There's always going to be love. Hopefully, there will always be romance. And if you can capture the essence of that and make it as fresh in 2014 as it was in 1934 when you may have written the song, I think the standards are the ones which stand the test of time that people still know, can relate to, and remember.
Well, I'm having so much fun chatting with Noah Griffin that I think I'm going to make this into two shows. You've just heard part one. Part two will air next week. But in the meantime, don't forget, the performance is An Evening of Cole Porter featuring Noah Griffith and friends. The date is Friday, February 28th. The place is the Barn Theater in Ross, California, and proceeds will benefit both the Ross Valley Players and the Cole Porter Society. For tickets, you can go to Brown Paper Tickets or the RossValleyPlayers.com. For more information on Noah Griffin, you can go to noahgriffin.com.